This is Indy's Giant 90.9, WBDG FM HD1, Indianapolis.
Another episode of Hash Marks and Hardwood. We're joined by head coach of the Giants baseball team, Coach Davis. Please welcome James Boyd. Joined by WBDG alum Jackson White. Joining us as a guest on today's episode, please welcome assistant coach of the Ben Davis boys basketball team, Coach Persing. Max Crosby gets shipped off to the Baltimore Ravens for two first-round picks, but then we hear a couple of days ago this trade is actually being resigned and that Max Crosby is actually heading back to the Raiders. Now we move on to the historic Tuesday night in the National Basketball Association, and Bam Adebayo dropping an historic second highest ever 83 points in NBA history. Well, good morning, beautiful people, and welcome to another episode of Hash Marks and Hardwood. I'm Bryson Hill alongside Nicholas Mountcastle as we're here with you on this March 20th, 2026. Oh my goodness. March 20th, 2026. It is currently outside of the WBDG studios, 53 degrees and cloudy, but that is going to warm up a lot. Hope everyone's having a great week so far in the midst of the madness of March. Also, I hope you guys like the new intro. Been working on that for the last couple of weeks. It took me some finaling around what I want to put in there, put whatever the case may be, but we got a good intro going. Could be better, could be worse. Nicholas, how are you doing on this Friday?
You know, as always, it's always going to be a Friday. You got the weekend coming up. Yeah, it's just Friday. You got to be happy as Friday.
And our guest today, our special guest from the Indy Star, is Kyle Nedenrip. He is live on the phone line. Let's bring him in right now. Kyle, thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
Hey, doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on. That was quite the intro.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been working on that for like the last week and trying to put some snippets in there and see what I like from the best. But Kyle, thank you for joining us. First of all, how are you doing? And how's your week been?
It's been good. I've been busy with stuff. I got a chance to write about Braden Smith again this week, so that story came out this morning on his kind of the background to his journey to a record he's going to break tonight, the all-time assist leader in college basketball. So that was fun to reminisce with his parents and a former teammate of his, Eli Patchett, who played with him at Westfield. And so, that story's out now. And I obviously been busy with semi-state, you know, previews and videos and all the stuff that we do now. So I've been, you know, that's kind of the primary job. But it was kind of break away and do a little something on Braden this week, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Semi-state coming up. And we obviously have the state games next week. You mentioned Braden Smith. It hurts me to say, but man, he's such a great player. As an IU fan, it hurts me to say that, but he's such an incredible player. But it's been a loaded sectional, Kyle, and I really just want to talk about I talked about it earlier this morning, but I know you've obviously been to a couple of the games all around the state at different high schools. I believe you were at the Plainfield and Pike game, weren't you?
I was, yeah. I was at. I was there for the semifinal night and the championship night at Plainfield.
Indeed, because I believe, I don't think we met that day, but I know you met my friend and my broadcast partner, Tyler Stout. That was good, and getting to connect with you guys. But we talked about it earlier this morning. I mean, you were there, I was there. Man, that felt like an NBA atmosphere, a college atmosphere there at Plainfield High School. how important is that to really just have the energy be so loud in a bunch of these gyms and arenas all around the state? And how does it just make overall the sport of basketball so much better to watch and so much better for you to write about?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I love it. I expected, you know, walking up to the gym that night, I expected it to be a really good atmosphere, and it went beyond even what I thought. And largely, a lot of that was Plainfield. You know, Plainfield, they had a great season. I think everybody was excited in the community there, and it kind of been building. You know, I've been to a couple games there during the year. They had a really good crowd. Even on a weeknight, I think it was a Tuesday night, they played Lawrence North, and you know, it was probably their biggest student section that I'd ever seen there. You know, and they had a really good team. Unfortunately, 5 years ago, you know, they had this really good team that had kind of been growing together for a while. But that was the, you know, if you remember, that was the COVID, you know, the year after COVID, basically. So there were still limited crowds and stuff like that, so they didn't really get to fully embrace that team. So, you know, this year, I think this team had been building for a while. And, yeah, I mean, going in there, you know, you could kind of sense it right away. And then as the game progressed, I'm sitting at the top there where the media row is and where you know, the radio people like you guys sit and the broadcasters and stuff like that. And, you know, you can kind of put your computer up there. And I like that spot. It's a little, you know, it's you kind of have your own spot up there. Don't have to worry about power and all that. And all of a sudden there was people standing behind us. You know, there was nowhere else to go. And it was, standing room only situation. It's like, oh, man, this is my son actually. One of my sons got there a little bit later, and he was with two of his friends from college. And, you know, I was like, where are you guys? He's like, we're standing across from you, standing up, you know, on the railing there. So, you know, he couldn't even, they got a seat later. But, you know, it was just that type of environment. It was awesome, you know. And Plainfield losing, you know, kind of somewhat diminished the crowd the following night, because I think it also would have been packed completely on Saturday. But it's still a good crowd for Pike and Brownsburg. But Plainfield, you know, it was just a, you know, a unique situation. They knew they were hosting. You know, they all had those T-shirts made up. And, you know, they knew they could lose going into it. I mean, Pike is a super talented team. But, you know, the way that game was going, you know, leading by 15 early in the third quarter, I was like, man, this is going to be, you know, this is going to be a real, you know, quite a situation here if they can pull it out. And they didn't. You know, Pike came back, and credit to them. I thought that showed a lot of toughness by Pike to do that. But yeah, that was just, it was an awesome crowd. I mean, those are the kind of crowds you hope for. And, you know, that's kind of what this is all about, you know, is those type of situations. So, yeah, it was awesome. It
yeah, really and I saw the games at Southport were pretty great environment as well last couple of weeks. But, Kyle, like we mentioned, this MI-State is coming up, and I saw you just posted an article earlier today, I believe, about who you think would win these semi-state games. We can kind of just touch on each game real quick if you would like, and give your thoughts. I know you wrote about it, but just kind of give a brief summary of what you might have wrote about earlier on the Indy Star and who you think will win each game here. First up, we have, what do we want to start with? First off, I guess we'll start with Tri-County versus Trenton. 16-10 versus 22-3. That game's at noon. You picked Trenton by 9. Let's touch on that game and your thoughts on that game.
Yeah, my picks haven't been very good, so I don't know how much to put into.
I saw you say you were 22-10 or something last week, but
yeah, that's not very good. That's kind of mediocre, I would say at best. And my sectional picks weren't very good either. So I had some coaches, Ron Colley coach. I walked into the sectional on Wednesday when they were playing, and he said something about the pick. Oh, bulletin. He said, we put that on bulletin board material. I was like, well, that's what I'm here for, is to provide bulletin board material. So, but it worked out for them. They ended up winning the sectional. So I was definitely wrong. But yeah, I would say, you know, Triton is probably, if you look at those four teams in the North semi-state, that's probably a little bit weaker overall than the South. And I ended up taking Monroe Central to come out of that group there. They have a kid, Tayshawn Beatty, who's 6'4", had 26 rebounds last week in the regional, which is pretty incredible. And he's a big kid, a big, strong kid for a 1A team. So I kind of like Monroe Central to come out of there, although Triton might be slightly the favorite there. I think you'll end up seeing Triton and Monroe Central play in the championship game, and then I took Monroe Central to win it. But I think that'll be a really good, interesting battle there. The north half of 1A, like I said, I think is a little bit weaker than the south, but yeah, I think we'll end up with a good team. I've been to Monroe Central before. They had a really good team there a few years ago. So it's kind of out in eastern Indiana there, out in the country, and they do have a really good basketball tradition and following there. So, I think they'll have a good crowd if they can make it to Cambridge next week.
Absolutely. Next game, 15-11, the Fort Wayne Lures versus Oak Hill, 25-1. That game's early, a 10 a.m. start time in the class of 2A. Your prediction for this, you think it will be a challenging test for Oak Hill, but you believe the Golden Eagles will pull away and win by 7. Let's elaborate on this game. This should be, I think this will be another good game.
Definitely. I've seen Oak Hill play this year. If you know the Tonigal name, Greg Tonigal, the coach at Indiana Wesley, and two of his sons are on this team, and they're a junior and freshman, so they are going to be good again next year. I went up there to watch him play Homestead, and Homestead's still playing in the 4A semi-state. They actually, Oak Hill lost that game. It's the only loss they have this year, but they played a tough schedule. They beat Zionsville, which I think shows how tough they can be. They're not very big, and that's the one concern I would say going into this Lures. Lures play such a good schedule. They play, basically all 3A and 4A teams predominantly throughout the season. So you look at their 15-11 record, and you're kind of like, well, this is not great. But at the same time, they play a different type of schedule. So they're a bigger team, a more physical team. Ale Taylor, their leading scorer, is a really good football player. So I think they'll test Oak Hill, but I had Oak Hill getting through that one. And then, yeah, I think the night game there, the winner of that Westview-LaPel game at noon, the second game, I think Westview ends up pulling that out. There's a kid named Austin Schlabaugh for Westview. He's got having a really good tournament run and really a really good season. I think he's potentially a junior all-star. He had 33 last week against Gary 21st. And so you could end up with Westview and Oak Hill in the night game of the semi-state. But I think LaPel, too, is a little bit probably of a sleeper team that has been playing really well. They actually lost to Oak Hill late in January, and ever since then they've won every game. So I think that'll be a good test. And, it's cool they're using Muncie Fieldhouse again, too, for the later rounds of the tournament. So that game will be played there. And that's, if you've never been there, that's a great venue to watch a game.
Absolutely. I don't want to – going through all of these games would take a little bit of time, but I just want to focus on the big ones. 25-1, Northridge versus Homestead. That's going to be an excellent one. Thoughts on that game?
Yeah, that's in 4A up north. And, that'll be – Northridge has a player – speaking of Greg Tonigal, he's going to Indiana Wesley, and Brady Scholl, who I saw at the Kokomo tournament earlier this year and really impressed. He's 6'7". He's a big, strong guy, but he can also shoot it from the perimeter. 24.6 points a game and 11.8 rebounds. So that kind of tells you what he's capable of. And that's at the 4A level against a pretty good schedule. So, yeah, Homestead's a team. They're going to be even better next year. And they have Mack Welker, who's a junior. He'll be a junior all-star for sure. And then Jake Kuhlman, also a junior. So pretty much all of their team is back next year. So this is kind of a, I would say, I'm sure they're planning on winning the whole thing. But, I would say this is kind of a good trial run or to see maybe what they could do next year because with all these players coming back. So I would expect Northridge to win. But I think Homestead's got a high level of talent, especially Mack Welker. He averages 21 and 10, actually. So he is a tough player. But I think Northridge, their senior, I think their senior-led team that will advance here in this one.
Also in the class of 4A, 22-5 New Albany versus 24-3 Terre Haute North. That should be a clash between two Titans and really a great game there.
Yeah, I agree. That'll be the second game in Newcastle. So Mount Vernon plays Decatur in that 10 a.m. game, and then Terre Haute North and New Albany play at noon. So, the winners of those games, and I think most people probably would think Mount Vernon will beat Decatur. Although Decatur, I tell you, they will pose some problems for Mount Vernon, I think, maybe more than more than people think. But when you got Luke Oertl on your side like Mount Vernon does, I think that, you know, bodes well. But, yeah, that second game, New Albany, and it's kind of a contrast a little bit of I think, how they're going to want to play this game. Terre North plays a little bit more, I wouldn't say methodical, but they're a little bit slower of a pace than New Albany. New Albany likes to get up and down, and, you know, they have a lot of talent. Noah Washington, sophomore, might be the best sophomore in the state, 22 points a game, and he has a lot of help, too. And this is another team that's relatively young. A lot of their players will be back next year. Carson Stoudemire is a freshman for them who is a really, really nice player as well. And Reese McKee is only a junior. So they'll bring a lot of talent back, whereas Terre North is more of a veteran team. They have a lot of seniors. So they're not going to look exactly the same next year, although they do have some juniors that are pretty good too. But they're very balanced. They're balanced and they can shoot the three. And that I think that bodes well for them. But, yeah, I think that's a complete toss-up. You know, the winner of that will probably play Mount Vernon in the championship game if Mount Vernon can get by Decatur. So I think the night game at Terre Haute or at Newcastle is going to be really good too.
The final game I want to talk about here is Cathedral versus Princeton. That is going to be another good one. 22-3 versus 22-5. Your prediction was that Cathedral edges out by 5 and a couple of stats for the players. This should be another great game between the Fighting Irish.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, this might be the best. This grouping here is really good because you have Silver Creek in there too. So you have the 1, 2, and 3 teams in the state in this semi-state at Seymour. So the winner of this will get Silver Creek, and most likely Silver Creek plays Ron Colley in the early game. So we'll see what happens there. But this this Princeton team is better than I know they're not from Central Indiana, so maybe people don't know them as well. But Edwin Holmes, he's senior who's got good size, but he also is a really good passer out of the post. That's maybe his best quality. And then they have a sophomore guard, Quentin Volts, who can light it up too. So, again, a team that's balanced, a lot of weapons. Cathedral's the same way, though. They have a lot of firepower. They're a high-scoring team. This one should be really good. Princeton was in this – they were in this round last year and lost to Attucks in a close game. So they do have the experience of being here too. So I think I could see this game going either way. I don't have a great feel for it. I did take Cathedral, but I think it's going to be a good one. Then you could end up with Cathedral, and whatever the winner of this game is, playing Silver Creek will be a good challenge. Maybe the toughest challenge Silver Creek's going to have if they can get past Ron Colley. So Silver Creek is, if they were in 4A, they would be a serious contender as well. They have a ton of firepower and scoring, and they like to get up and down the court, and they have bigs, they have guards, they have pretty much everything. So it's an absolutely loaded Silver Creek team.
Absolutely. Let's move a little bit of away and turn gears from like the game aspect. Let's talk about you a little bit, and I really just want to know, we've had a lot of people, you write for the Indy Star, you put out some amazing articles, I read them all the time, you obviously have a pretty big following on X/Twitter, a lot of people like to click on your links and stuff. There has been a lot of people that I know are interested either right now tuning in and wanting to do what you do. And there's also, we've had a lot of alum Zion Brown. He now writes for the Indy Star right now for Motorsports. What is your advice to anyone out there doing what you want to do?
I would say, yeah, I mean, Zion's great. He does great work for us. He even did before he got this job. He was an intern for us and did great work then. So that kind of got his foot in the door. And speaking, I just want to point that out because that's kind of what you got to do, is kind of get your foot in the door. We have a young man now who's from Fishers. He went to Bradley, and he's now working for us part-time. And I brought him out to a few games and had him write a couple things for us. And, if you can just kind of get your foot in the door, a lot of times, at least when, the business has changed a little bit too, where I started out taking phone calls. I would take calls when I was in college I would take calls of score, game, they call in box scores, and I'd take, I would type up bowling score. You did all kinds of, basically do the agate page. And then I kind of progressed into being able to do some writing and do some copy editing and, you know, designing pages. And some of those jobs don't really exist anymore because the newspaper side of it, the print product anyway, is kind of, it's transitioned more to online. The newspaper still exists, but it's way more, you know, if you get an online subscription, you're getting way more than you do just the newspaper. So, but anyway, to that extent, you have to be a worker. You have to be able to say, you know, not say no to very much. I mean, that's kind of what my thought process was, just anything you tell me to do, I'll do it. Just to kind of, you know, show that you're going to work, and get stuff done. So that would be my advice, is just, to, you know, reach out to people, make connections, see what's possible, you know, and then, go from there and see what you like to. I think also the thing too is you need to find what you like to do, and having those experiences of maybe figure out, well, this isn't what I want to do, and you kind of move on from there. But yeah, it's a competitive business, but I always think, like, you know, a lot of people weed themselves out because they don't either work that hard, or you know, they need more seasoning, or maybe need to go to a smaller place first and kind of work their way up and get better. You know, I'd say you need reps. You need to get, you know, writing is a thing where you have to just do it, and reporting and talking to people. And the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it, I think. And that's kind of the, you know, there's no real, you know, some people are more talented than others. There's definitely way more people more talented than I am, for sure. You know, and I read them all the time. And I try to, even now at my age, try to learn, you know, learn from younger people. I mean, that's the only way you can get better. So always don't think you know it all, and continue to get better by learning from others.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about that. I think the best thing that I've been told by alum and other people that I've had on the show is, like you said, you know, get your foot in the door. And especially when I go off to college, I think a lot of the things that have been said to me is say yes to everything, even if you're not comfortable with it. So, for example, I am not my knowledge is much more knowledgeable on football and basketball and that stuff, and baseball and softball a little out of the element, but that's why I'm trying to, you know, I'll be calling some games here for WBDG in about a month or two, and just trying to get those reps in. So I think, like you said, one of the best things is to get your foot in the door and say yes to everything, every opportunity that comes your way.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, I was lucky enough to, you know, to you know, I covered a lot of, like, track and field. I covered, when I first started in college, actually, I covered some women's basketball right off the bat, and really enjoyed it. And you know, and that's kind of just how I started out. And, you know, sometimes those sports that you may not, you know, I really found out I loved covering track and field when I was doing it, you know, this a long time ago, but I did a lot of it and found that, like, hey, there's so many different stories out here that aren't being told. You know, that's kind of the fun of high school too, is you don't, you know, if you don't tell the story, or if the student newspaper doesn't, you know, a lot of the stories just kind of go untold. So you might be the only one telling it, or, you know, you may find some good stuff just because people are, you know, no one else is really covering them. So, you know, you make connections with people, and then that leads to another story. So you're able to, I always say, like, there's more stuff to do than there is time in the day on the high school beat. I mean, you could basically work 24/7, you know, 365 days a year and not get to everything. So that's good and bad. I mean, it keeps you working all the time, yeah. But you know, but there's an endless supply of good stories to write out there too.
Absolutely. And like you said, there's really, summer is the only time there's not something going on, you know, obviously sports world, high school wise, because, you know, we talk about the fall, you have all your fall sports, football, winter sports, basketball, and all that good stuff. Obviously now, like you said, we get into our spring sports, baseball, softball, track and field. It's really never an off season for you guys, but I am curious, is there a sport that is maybe your least favorite to write about, or maybe your favorite to write about? Maybe you're like, oh, I get to cover this sport, I can't wait to write all about it, or whatever the case may be. Is there a sport that you hate to write or love to write?
Oh, yeah. I mean, basketball, I think people probably know, is my favorite, I would say, or maybe people don't know, but most people I run into maybe know that just because it's what I've done, maybe what I'm most known for, and I think that maybe comes out in my writing, is that I love covering basketball and high school basketball specifically, especially this time of year. I mean, it's just, there's nothing better. And actually, I love, probably sectional week is probably my favorite week, but these other tournament games are, they get bigger and bigger, and they're, even better. Even the state finals, sometimes the state finals is kind of like, it might be a little bit of a letdown because it's in a bigger arena and it's maybe not packed, but man, we have had some dynamite, the Ben Davis team that went undefeated. That felt like you're in a high school gym the way that place was jumping. It was awesome.
Yeah. We had, the IHSAA commissioner on earlier, Paul Knighting, and we talked about that great atmosphere, that 2023 state game. But
yeah, absolutely. And then we've had, Jeffersonville Fishers last year was just as awesome. We've had some great crowds for especially for the 4A, because you get a lot of people. Those schools are bigger. They bring, the right schools. They bring bigger crowds, and then you kind of get the common fan interest too of just, I want to see this game, and that sort of thing. So, I would say basketball, and then I really do enjoy football too, because football is the start of the school year. It always kind of represents a fresh start. Football is a little easier to cover, not necessarily the night of the game, but just from a coverage standpoint, because it's once a week, you can kind of plan your week out a little bit better. There's high interest, in the stuff. Our traffic does phenomenal for football. People love football and the start of something new. So that's always appealing too. And there are other sports I like. It's not necessarily about the sport necessarily, but the game of basketball, the game of football, I played those sports. I played baseball too, but I don't love covering baseball as much. It's kind of like nothing against baseball. I love the game of baseball, but it's the weather factor. I don't love the spring, the rain and the sometimes the cold. Now, once you get to the tournament, and the sectional and that sort of thing, it's fun to get out to a high school game and watch baseball, but that's pretty low on my list of favorites. But track and field is something I've always enjoyed covering. There are other sports too, but I would say I'm probably most known for basketball and football. It's probably more of my comfort zone a little bit. And, I like mixing it up too and doing some other things like going out and covering, like boys volleyball or golf. It's sometimes those are a nice little change up from the usual.
Yeah. And Nicholas here, my co-host, has a question for you, Kyle.
Sure.
So you say you don't like covering baseball as much because it's in the spring and all that. Do you also not like it because it's a little slower pace as to covering like
that's a, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, you're good. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's something to that. I think too, like my, so when I started out, I was in Springfield, Missouri, and they had a minor league team there. The Springfield Cardinals double A team is the St. Louis Cardinals affiliate. And, I would help fill in and cover some games we had a beat writer back then. It started out this almost 20 years ago, or might be even probably more than 20 years ago now. But anyway, I was helping out covering, and I would just, you'd be up there in the press box, and I had a hard time focusing. it's just baseball is just, it is slower. It is, and I love the game of baseball. Like I love, Detroit Tigers have been my team since I was a kid. I listen to their games on the radio. I just turn them on, and it's like something you have in the background, and it's just, I love it, And I listen to a lot of Cardinals games too, but actually covering the game, I tend to, zone out a little bit. Now covering high school is a little different because if I'm out covering a baseball game, you're keeping track of stats, you're doing videos, stuff like that. And normally if you're at a, if I'm at a game, because I don't normally cover baseball, it's for a specific reason or, it's a bigger game. So, the aspect of being bored by it isn't necessarily the case. But, yeah, it feels too, like once you get out of basketball, that's kind of when I can take a breath a little bit too, and you know, and do some stuff too. And a lot of times, and I'll say this too, and this isn't your question at all, but you know, I think a lot of people kind of misconstrue our jobs too. It's like when the games are over, your job is done. I mean, to me, that's the biggest thing too, is you have to have ideas in your mind of, you know, what am I going to write about once the games are over? What trend stories, what things are going on in this world? You know, there's always stuff to be done. Coaching changes, you know, there's stuff people are interested in that goes well beyond the actual game on the court or in the field. So those are the things as a reporter, I was like, a lot of people think like, you know, covering the game is what you do. I'd say that's like 5% of what we do. You know, there's so much other stuff to be done, you know, and I think that's for younger reporters. They need to know that you're not just about going to the game, writing the story, and then you're done with your job. You know, there's so many other things you should be aware of and doing that go beyond just the games.
Absolutely. You know, I really appreciate you, because you've made some of my preparation for high school broadcast 10 times easier with your amazing articles and whatnot about different stuff. When you're writing these different articles, really, and I know the sport could change this as well, when you're writing these different articles, what are you prioritizing in that article? Is there a certain order or a certain thing that you want to get across first in these different articles? Just what's kind of your step-by-step how to write these great pieces?
That's a good question. I wish I knew there was like a process.
Yeah, does it just flow for you? Yeah.
No, it doesn't. You know, it's hard sometimes. Now, sometimes, you know, I had a story that ran this week about kind of the changing nature of high school basketball. And, Jeff Teague, I talked to him after the Southport game. He kind of laid out, you know, a lot of the issues that are being talked about in you know, NIL and transfer portal. You know, not knowing even, like in his case, who's coming back next year for his team. And I was like, man, that's a really good, good point, and things that are being talked about behind the scenes that I've talked to a lot of coaches about. He just kind of laid it all out there. So I ended up, you know, writing a piece on that this week. And I'm using this as an example of a story that I thought did, you know, it was pretty easy to write because I felt like it was important to write and bring these issues to light and kind of tell what's going on. And some people don't like it. I mean, I'm sure that I'd say they don't like that I wrote about that. You know, maybe they think that's and maybe they don't care. I mean, to me though, you have to write the issues that are forefront and people are talking about. And those are many things that are being talked about. So, you know, I think those are important things. And that one did kind of come easier because I felt, you know, kind of passionate about it, I guess, or you know, you feel responsibility to write about it. So sometimes those are easier, like some of the, like when you're writing predictions or, you know, more preview stuff, those can be a little bit more monotonous, I would say. But also people like to read predictions, you know, and they whether they agree with them or not, people read them. So those are important things to write as well. But you know, it just depends. My process is normally like, I kind of always go back to one question, like, why am I writing this, you know, or who am I writing this for? And you can always start from that question. And then, you kind of get to the crux of what you're writing about. But yeah, you always want to, you know, include different voices, depending on what type of story it is. Like, you know, my Braden Smith story, I talked to his parents, his brother, one of his teammates, you know, and he's obviously busy, and I was in St. Louis. I talked to him too, but I'm not. So, you know, kind of just have to write around, you know, some of the people close to him. But yeah, you always want to include as many voices as you can. And, even if you don't quote them extensively, it helps you give, you know, some background on into your story too. So, I'm not smart enough to figure out a process that always works exactly, but I do like to, I'll listen to music when I'm writing, and that tends to help me sometimes too. But yeah, it's harder too, to just to block everything out. You know, there's so many things, you know, Twitter and social media, emails, you know, messages you're getting, to just block out time and just focus on one thing. It's probably harder than ever.
Yeah. And The last interview style type of question I want to ask you here is, it's something that's been on my mind. I really want to talk about what you think about the shot clock. Do you think there should be one added in high school basketball? And if so, how long do you think it should be, and how will that affect how the players have to adjust that from their, you know, sophomore to junior year, and they'll play with the shot clock and then not?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's time. You know, I'm not as strong in favor of it as some are, or not. I'm not as opposed to it as some are. I'm more in the middle. But, you know, and I honestly don't cover a lot of games where it's like the team is just holding the ball at half court. I don't see that almost ever. But I do think, you know, the thing that I keep going back to, it's, you know, that fourth quarter when a team's down by 8 or 10 and there's really no way to you have to trap and try to force turnovers and, you know, things like that with 4 minutes left or whatever. And that, at least in this, in a shot clock world, you have a chance to get the ball back and play a more normal style of game still, like we see in the college game, which, you know, can lead to some, you know, I think just a more flow of a game, you know, instead of the fouling and the stuff that we see now, you're just going to have a better game flow situation. So I know people are strong against it in some areas, and you know, and I don't know that it's completely necessary to have a shot clock, but I'm coming around more towards in favor of having one. I think it'd be good for the reason I mentioned, and then, you know, also for those kids who are, you're going to play in college, I think it helps you get ready for that. I don't know if that's a huge thing either. I mean, I think they're going to get used to it anyway, but you know, it's something where, you know, I think we're one of 18 states now that doesn't have a shot clock, where it used to be like 40 states didn't have one. So it's, the tide is turning, and I think we'll eventually get there.
Yeah, and finally, next week, I have a hot takes episode with different players here at Ben Davis and different people all around the state. Kyle, if you wouldn't mind, what is maybe the biggest hot take that you have in sports in general, any level, any sport? What is the biggest hot take that you don't think someone would agree with that you have?
Can I go non-sports related?
Yeah, that's fine.
Just general life?
Yeah, that's fine.
Never wave anybody through on a four-way stop if it's your turn to go through the four-way stop. You're breaking the law. You know, that's my hot take. You don't get extra points in heaven for waving someone through if it's your turn to go through. I don't know why this irrationally makes me angry, but I do not. If someone waves me through, I'll go, but I'm not waving at them. I'm not giving them the courtesy wave. I'm just going.
Yeah.
You know, so that's my hot take.
Fair enough. We'll talk about that next Friday. It's a hot take episode. Danville's Tanner Weininger will join us in a pre-recorded segment to talk about all the hot takes, because I will not be here, so the keys are in your hand, Nicholas. Don't worry. We'll get it rolling. But, Kyle, thank you so much for joining us, man. And for those of the listeners that don't know who you are or don't know where to find you, where can everyone find you at?
Yeah, Indy Star is where all of our work is. I guess what published or posted or whatever you want to say. And, you know, I'm not on a lot of different social media, but I'm on Twitter. So that's just my name on there, on Twitter, and occasionally on Facebook, I guess, too, but I don't post much there. But I probably need to get on other social media, but I don't have the time, or I don't feel the need, I guess, but maybe I should.
All right. Well, that's Kyle Nedenrip of the Indy Star, Bryce Snow alongside Nicholas Mountcastle. Kyle, thank you for joining us, and appreciate you.
You bet. Anytime, guys. Thanks. It was a great conversation, and great talking with you.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. You have a great weekend and some good semi-state action.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. All right, so that's Kyle Nedenrip of the Indy Star here on Hash Marks and Hardwood. That'll do it for us. Again, next Friday, we have a hot takes episode with Danville's basketball guard Tanner Weininger will join us in a pre-recorded segment to talk about all hot takes that Kyle Nedenrip just gave us, Mr. Easter gave us, Sherman Moss has given us one. Going to reach out to a bunch of different people, James Boyd's hot take as well. It's going to be a great episode next Friday. But again, Nicholas, anything to say before we go off the airways?
Yeah, have a good weekend. Be safe and catch you next Friday. 9:15 to 9:55, as always.
Absolutely. With that being said, as always, stay blessed and have a great day. And this is One Direction to take you guys into the weekend. Should be a nice weekend. So stay safe and enjoy the madness here in March. Hopefully, maybe your brackets are doing well. Mine's doing pretty well. I'm first in my group, so not with my dad's group, though, so that's unfortunate. But, yeah, again, stay safe and have a great weekend, everyone.